I'm so glad that he loves me that way. How about you? Amen. All right. So, planning for the future. That's the title of the message today. Planning for the future. Perhaps we have heard of that before. If you turn on your television, there's probably plenty of commercials telling you all about how you need to be planning for the future. So, planning for the future. I want to ask this question. Have you ever traveled and realized you way overpacked? Anybody? Right? You got ready to pack everything up, and all of a sudden you're thinking, well, it might be cold, so I need to pack some warm clothes. I might need these shoes because I might need to walk or do this or that ever. I want to have everything. I don't want to need something and not have it. I won't take it even if I don't need it. I'll have it. If something happens, I'll have it. So I want to take everything with me. I want to pack it all up. You can always tell when you, if you fly, you can tell the people that travel all the time versus the people that are rarely traveling. People that are traveling all the time, they got a backpack and a little carry-on bag, and they're good for a week. And people that rarely travel, they got, you know, a backpack, a carry-on, a big check bag, and, you know, I mean, they got so much stuff you can't hardly even get through the airport trying to carry it all. Preparing for the future. They want to make sure that they have everything. Especially as Americans, we tend to accumulate stuff. Why? Because the commercials say we need it. We need it all. We have to have it all. Everything that we can get, we have to have it. We want this stuff. We want the latest. We want the greatest. But then we don't want to throw away the thing that we replaced because this one might break and I might need that one. We have stuff. Anybody who doesn't think you accumulate stuff, just move. Just move. Move to another house and pack everything up. And suddenly you're looking at all these boxes going, where did all this come from? If you don't think Americans have too much stuff, drive down through any place you want to in Mobile County, and there either already is or they're building a you store it. There's more storage places being built in Mobile County right now than any other thing. And you wonder, how do people have so much stuff that they have to have their house, everything there, plus another storage unit? And, you know, it's just a lot. We accumulate stuff. We're told we need millions in order to retire. If you looked at some of the latest numbers, they say as you're preparing for retirement, is $1 million in retirement enough? Is it enough? Because, you know, you want to keep that lifestyle that you have. You want to make sure you're able to go and do whatever you want. You want to make sure you're not trying to balance out medicine versus things that you would like to do. You know, you want to make sure that you have plenty of money. And according to the latest polls, $1 million is not enough. You got to have more than that to retire. You got to prepare. You got to have all of these things. So, as we think about all of these things, I want us to think about maybe what God is saying, right? So let's look in 1 Timothy. 1 Timothy chapter 6. We're going to look verses 6 through 10 to start this morning. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verses 6 through 10. All right. But godliness actually is a means of great gain when accompanied by contentment. For we have brought nothing into the world, so we cannot take anything out of it either. If we have food and covering with these, we shall be content. But those who want to get rich fall into temptation and a snare, and many foolish and harmful desires which plunge men into ruin and destruction. For the love of money is a root of all sorts of evil. And some by longing for it have wandered away from the faith and pierced themselves with many griefs. Godliness is great gain when accompanied by contentment. Contentment. Understand this. A person can be content if they have food, clothing, and shelter. A person can be content with just those things. But the world says, You need a lot more than that. You got to have all these other things to be content. Food, clothing, and shelter, and God. Godliness. When we know God, when we know the Lord, when we have accepted Him as our Lord and Savior, the only things that we really need in this world besides having Him is food, clothing, and shelter. If we have those basic needs and we can meet those needs, then we should be able to be content. But the problem is, as Americans, we're told that's not nearly enough. You don't need to be content with just that much. You need to have more. You need to prepare. You need to make sure you invest. You need to have all of these things because you never know what's going to happen. So you need to do all of these things. All of this needs to be stored up. You need to prepare. You need to gather it all up and have plenty. Well, what about this? You take out of this world exactly what you brought in it. Exactly what you brought in it. The amazing thing is, I heard a preacher say, he used to always say, you never see a hearse pulling a U-Haul. Right? Never see a hearse pulling a U-Haul with all the stuff going with them. And maybe there have been people have tossed a few things in the casket when the people are buried, but it doesn't leave here. It stays there. You go out of this world with exactly what you brought in it. So all of our efforts to store up things and accumulate wealth and accumulate stuff and all of those things is futile, because when the time comes and we step out of this world, not one single piece of that goes with us. Not a single thing. So in all the time that we're trying to prepare for our future and prepare for everything, understand this is what you take out with you. Nothing. Nothing. That sounds almost incredibly real. You take nothing with you. Why are you working so hard trying to accumulate everything and prepare for your future, and you never have time to use it? Do you know that on an average, Americans spend all this time working and preparing for their future? I'm going to prepare for my retirement, and I'm going to do all this stuff, and I'm going to get everything ready, and I'm going to get it all done. And when they finally think that maybe I have enough, I can retire, they're too feeble to use it. They're not able to do what they always thought they wanted to do. Now suddenly their retirement consists of this. Now y'all can tell me if I'm wrong. All right, well, let's see. I need to do something. Let me look. No, I got a cardiologist appointment on Monday. No, I got an audiologist appointment on Tuesday. No, over here on Thursday, I've got a gastroenterology appointment. And does that sound about right? We age and we get to that point and we're thinking, oh, we're going to retire. We're going to have all this free time. We're going to do all these things. We're going to store up all this money and do everything for what? Most of the time we do all of that and try to store it all up, and it's not something that we even use anyway. But we're spending all that time doing it because, well, that's what we're supposed to do. That's what we've been told. We're supposed to prepare for our future and store everything up. Well, look at verse 8. Verse 8 says, if we have food and covering, with these we shall be content. If we have food and covering, with these we shall be content. Our needs are taken care of. Our basic need. Those are taken care of. Should we be content if our basic needs are taken care of? God provided. He gave it to you. You should be content in the things that you have. He's given it to us. The world argues with that and says, no, we can't. We can't be content with that. We have to have a whole lot more. And so we need to prepare for even more. Well, verse 9 and 10 says this. But those who want to get rich fall into temptation and a snare and many foolish and harmful desires which plunge men into ruin and destruction. For the love of money is a root of all sorts of evil. And some, by longing for it, have wandered away from the faith and pierced themselves with many griefs. You know, the part about that is incredible is to think about. They pierced themselves with many griefs. The more they desired the money, the more they desired the riches and the wealth and to store everything up, the more grief comes to them. The more grief comes to them. Had some friends, beginning of this administration, and they had all this money stored up in their 401k for retirement. And if you remember at the beginning of this administration, oh, there was a lot of turmoil, what was going to happen, this, that, all of a sudden the markets went. And I saw people literally wringing their hands and sweating and upset, and they're like, oh my gosh, I can't believe how much money I've lost. In just this last month, I've lost this much money. They were so worried about this money that they had lost. So I said, are you retiring today? They said, no. I said, then why are you worried about that? It's not going to change. If you don't retire today, there's plenty of time for that to rebound and a whole lot of things happen and things get different. But you're all upset over something that hadn't even actually occurred. It's the perception that I'm losing all this money. You hadn't lost anything. Haven't lost a single thing. But you're so concerned with the money that you're upset and literally depressed over the amount of money that the market went down and you think you lost. Several weeks later, probably really it was only a couple months later, if you remember, the market did this. Not only did they come back to where they were, but they went above it from what they had before. I said, what about that? Feel better about that now? Yeah. Yeah, I feel a whole lot better about it now. I said, so you realize all that fretting that you were doing over it was for nothing. It was for nothing. You see, contentment is the thing that we have to think about. What can we be content with? My wife and I got married, and I worked full-time. She worked part-time. We decided children were something we would like to have. Lord blessed us. And we made a decision that when children came along, she would stay home and take care of the children. She would take care of the house and take care of the children while I worked and made the money that we needed. Now, by doing that, we didn't have a whole lot of extra. We didn't have a bunch of stuff. We didn't have a vacation home and a boat and everything, all this stuff that a lot of my friends, same age, they had all that stuff. But you see, both of their spouse, each of them and the family, they were both working full-time jobs and they were both working all the time and they had all this stuff. I said, when do you ever use it? Well, every once in a while we might get to, but we've got it when we get ready to use it. We've got all that. We were content with the fact that God had blessed us with a child. We got to spend time together. We got to make sure that all of that things that that child needed, we could take care of them. We had food, we had clothing, we had shelter. Maybe we didn't have a whole lot extra, but we were content in that because we knew that God had given to us what we needed. Over all the years that I've worked, my wife has stayed home and taken care of the children, taken care of the house, and God has not once ever let us go without anything we needed. So we can be content. We can be content in all of those things. There's nothing wrong with preparing for retirement. I want you to understand this. I'm not advocating against preparing for retirement. You need to prepare for retirement because one day, if you're working and you're drawing a check, one day you retire and that check is no longer there, right? That check is no longer there. So there's nothing wrong with preparing for retirement. You need something. But when the love of money begins to drive you, that's a problem. When the love of money starts to drive you, that's a problem. I don't have enough. I need more. I need more. I need more. I need more. I've got this, but, you know, what if something happens? I need more. I need more. If the love of money is the thing that's driving you, then the problem is that it becomes more important than your walk with God. It becomes more important than being content with what God has given you. It becomes more important than serving God and all the things that you do. So preparing for the future is all fine and good if you're preparing in a way that is still pleasing to God. But when you get to the point where that becomes the only thing is accumulating more, then that becomes a big problem. We're preparing for a future. But listen, there are so many things much greater than money. what? What do you mean? There's so many things much greater than money. How can you say that there's so many things much greater than money? Well, let's look to verse 11 through 16 and see what it has to say. But flee from these things. What things? The love of the money. The love of money that is evil. Flee from these things, you man of God, and pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, perseverance, and gentleness. Wow, those are a lot of things much greater than money. Fight the good fight of faith. Take hold of the eternal life of which you were called, and you made the good confession in the presence of many witnesses. I charge you in the presence of God, who gives life to all things, and of Christ Jesus, who testified the good confession before Pontius Pilate, that you keep the commandment without stain or reproach until the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ, which he will bring about at the proper time. He who is the blessed and only sovereign, the King of kings and the Lord of lords, who alone possesses immortality and dwells in unapproachable light, whom no man has seen or can see, to him be the honor and external domination. Amen. Flee these things of the world and pursue God. How do I prepare for the future? Pursue God. How do I prepare for the future? Pursue God. Pursue God and godly things. What does God desire? What do I need to do to draw closer to him? It's an amazing thing when you stop and think about it that people get to a place where they're no longer satisfied with the amount of preparation they've made for the future in this world, but they're completely satisfied with the lack of preparation they've made for their future in glory. They're completely content with not doing anything for God. What do you mean not doing anything? I come to church. Sometimes I read my Bible. I do the things I need to do. What do you mean not doing anything? When's the last time you invited somebody to church? When's the last time you told somebody about Jesus? When's the last time when you looked at the things going on in your life and made it a priority to serve him over serving self? You see, flee these things of the world and pursue God. God is what we should be pursuing because that's where we're going for eternity. Maybe you can retire. Maybe you can retire. For many of you, you have retired. You've been spending many years in retirement, right? You've done all those things. But it's just a drop in the bucket compared to eternity. The scripture said, I charge you in the presence of God. I charge you in the presence of God. In other words, with God witnessing every bit of it, I'm charging you, people of God, to pursue God. To pursue God. What are the priorities in your life? Many people make out a to-do list. On our to-do list for a weekly, is on there anywhere witness to someone about Jesus? Is on there anywhere invite someone to come to church? Is anything on there somewhere that says spend more time with God this week? No, most of the time it's not. Most of the time everything is on your to-do list or things you have to do for your work, your family, yourself, whatever it is. But pursuing God is not, it doesn't make it on the top 10 list. Oh, you're still planning on going to church on Wednesday and Sunday. You're still planning on maybe reading your Bible if you get time. You're still planning on praying some this week, all of those things, but you didn't write it down. And my wife tells me all the time, write it down. Write it down. Why do I have to write it always down? Because you don't remember if you don't write it down. Oh, I'll remember. Later I'm going, what was I supposed to remember? Because I didn't write it down. What was I supposed to do? I didn't write it down. Even at work, I have a list of things that I need to do. Make sure I have it written down so that I do those things. And when I check them off, how's your walk with God? in the presence of God, you've been charged to pursue God? Are we more concerned with storing up treasures here for ourselves? Are we more concerned with storing up treasures because we think about these things? We think about the future. I know for many of you, you're going, Pastor, you're preaching about this planning for retirement. I've been retired for 20 years. Yeah, but you're not dead yet. So you're still trying to plan for the next 20, hopefully, right? You're still trying to prepare for what's to come. Are you preparing for the next step into glory? Or are you preparing for the next step of how you're going to spend your money or what you're going to do in this life to make you happy? Are we more concerned with storing up treasures, earthly treasures, treasures for ourselves? Is that where our concern lies instead of serving God? We look around the world today and we see the world in a shambles. We see things happening, hate spilling out everywhere. We see people that are fighting over stuff that they shouldn't even be worried about. We see people fighting over great causes. We see two people that just because one of them declares themselves this person, this type of person, and one declares himself that type of person, then they can never get along. We see all of those things happening. Why? Because we're not storing up for ourselves treasures in heaven. We're not spending that time trying to talk to people about God. We're not trying to watch the Word of God and salvation move across this world. Instead, we're worried about, well, I hope you finish, you know, Super Bowls tonight. Got to watch the Super Bowl. You know, I got to get down to Mardi Gras. There's a parade going on. I got to get down there. So, you know, I got to worry about all those things. Why are we worried about those things that are going to fade away? What if we saw the real treasure as serving God and reaching people? What if that's what we saw as storing up treasure? Serving God and reaching people. What if that's the real treasure? The real treasure is to say, you know what? I got a chance to share the gospel, and this year there was four people that I witnessed to that came to know Jesus as Lord and Savior. What if that was the real treasure? The real treasure, not the temporary stuff that's not going to leave here with us, but what if that were the real treasure? Now, what if I tell you it is the real treasure? It is the real treasure. We're only here for a moment. Oh, yes, I know people live to be 110 these days. Some don't live to be 10. We're only here for a moment. And 110 years, when you compare it against eternity, is the blink of an eye. So what if we saw the real treasure as serving God and reaching people? What if we saw it that way? It is that way, but what if we saw it that way? I know, you know, those rich people, you know, they're bad folk, all them rich people. Being rich is not evil. God greatly blesses some people with money. God greatly blesses some people with money. Being rich in itself is not the evil. But the love of that money, if that's what they're more concerned with, then that is evil. But just being rich is not evil. In fact, let's look and see what it says in verses 17 through 19. Instruct those who are rich in this present world not to be conceited or to fix their hope on the uncertainty of riches, but on God, who richly supplies us with all things to enjoy. Instruct them to do good, to be rich in good works, to be generous and ready to share, storing up for themselves the treasure of a good foundation for the future, so that they may take hold of that which is life indeed. If you know Jesus, you are rich. If you know Jesus, you are rich. You're rich also. The reality for us is if we know Jesus, and because of that we are rich because of the faith, because of the eternity, because of the love that God has for us, if we know that and we're all rich, And what do we do with that? The scripture says, let the rich do what? Do good works. Be generous and ready to share. Miss Joanne and I were talking one time, and she was talking about, you know, your little Sunday school thing, and you fill out your report. How many people invited somebody to church this week? How many contacts did you make? How many people did, you know, did you give your tithe? Did you read your Bible? You used to also say, did you do any good works? Good works. Read your Bible. Invite people to church. Make contacts. All those things. It was kind of a checkup each week. Well, we stopped doing all that because, you know, people didn't like to not be able to say they did that. So they just, instead of asking that awkward question, we just stopped. Well, we stopped asking that awkward question, and you know what happened? People stopped doing good works. They stopped being generous. They stopped being ready to share. They started being more selfish. Hold on, preacher. You can't be accusing me of being selfish. Well, I'm accusing people in this world generally as being selfish. Well, why would you say that? Because the general consensus is it's about me. It's about me, and if I have time, I will try to do something for somebody else. If I just happen to have some extra, I might give some to somebody. If, whatever. How many times somebody walk up to you and you say, I'm sorry, I have nothing, and the whole time you had money in your pocket? It wasn't that you thought they were conning you or whatever. You just decided that I'm not giving you that $20 because, you know, I'm going to the store and buy me something. So I'm not giving that to you because then I wouldn't have it. I don't have time to do something good for you because, you know, the ball game's starting soon. I have to go home. I don't have time to be generous because, I'm just barely making it myself. And the reality is you're bringing in way more than you need. Pursue God. How? Do good works. Be generous. Be ready to share. All of those because we're rich. Every single one of us are rich if we know Jesus as Lord and Savior. Do good. Well, just what do you mean by doing good works? Well, if you have to ask, right? Do good works. It's pretty simple. Do good works. Do things that are good for people. Help people out. Plan a Sunday school party and invite people that don't normally come to Sunday school. Somebody that needs help and they can't rake their yard, you go over and do it for them. You know, somebody who you know is not feeling well, but you stopped and bought them some groceries because they couldn't get out. Just little things. Do good works. The problem is most of the time we don't know to do those things because we don't keep up with people enough to even know they need it. We're too selfish. We're too locked in our own world. We live in neighborhoods with houses all around us, and half of us don't even know the names of the people that live around us. Because we go in our house, they go in theirs, and we see them across the street and go, hey, that's as far as we go. We don't know them. We don't ever talk to them. We don't invite them to church, much less do good works. I came home, I'd been on military duty, and I came home, I'd been gone, and I got home dreading the fact that I knew when I got home I was going to have to cut the grass because I hadn't been there for a while and the grass was going to be real high. And I come home, and as I pulled into the yard, the grass was cut. Who got out there and cut that grass? I went in and I asked my wife, did you cut the grass? She said, no. So, well, the grass is cut. Who cut it? She said, I don't know. I just noticed it was cut. Well, who cut the grass? I went back out, and I'm sitting there looking at the grass, and I noticed that the line went across my yard and into my neighbor's yard and all the way to his driveway and turned around and came back. I said, my neighbor cut my grass. So I saw my neighbor. I said, hey, did you cut my grass? He said, yeah. He said, I knew you was out of town on military stuff, and he said, I was already cutting mine, so it didn't take that much more for me to just ride a little further over there and cut yours, so I just cut it for you. That was such a blessing. He did a good work for no reason other than he just thought it was a good work, something good to do. How many times do we do that? How many times do we think about, let's do something good for somebody, and then when they say, why did you do that? We say, because Jesus told us to. Because God loves me, and so therefore, I love you with the love of God. And so I'm doing that. Do good works. Be generous. Be ready to share. That's what you do when you're rich in Jesus. Look at verse 19. Storing up for themselves the treasure of a good foundation for the future, so that they may take hold of that which is life indeed. That treasure of the good foundation for the future is treasure in heaven, not on earth. Storing up for themselves that treasure in heaven. Preparing for the future is preparing to see Jesus. Wait, what now? Preparing for the future is preparing for that day when you will see Jesus face to face. Well, I hadn't thought about that far in the future yet. Why not? You're not guaranteed another day, not another moment. There's nothing in life that you are promised that you will spend another day. We should be preparing every day that tomorrow, this afternoon, 10 minutes from now, we may see Jesus. So if we're preparing for the future, then preparing to see Jesus. If I'm preparing to see Jesus, then I want to see Jesus doing what he called me to do. I don't want to see Jesus doing things I ought not be doing. I don't want to suddenly see Jesus when I hadn't done what I'm supposed to do. I want to see Jesus knowing that I've been doing what he called me to do. Exactly what he gave me to do as a believer in him. Think about this. What if the riches were saved souls instead of dollars and gold? What if riches were saved souls instead of dollars and gold? I hadn't thought about it like that. If I'm preparing for a future where I'm going to see Jesus face to face, Jesus doesn't care how many dollars or how much gold that I stored up on this side of heaven. He cares about what I did to prepare for my eternity by reaching other people and helping them to prepare for eternity. There's no promise that when we meet someone and we talk to someone that we will ever see them again. None whatsoever. There is no promise that we will ever see them again. Maybe that's the time we need to talk to them. Maybe that's the time we need to try to reach them for Christ. I told you earlier that when you store up all these things that you take out of here exactly what you brought in, nothing. You can't take worldly treasures with you, but souls will meet you in heaven. Those whom you shared Jesus with, those who came to know the Lord, those who gave their life to Christ, those you will see again in heaven one day. You can't take the worldly treasures with you, but how many souls can you see when you get there that you spent the time to talk to them, that you spent the time trying to reach them, that you did what God told you and you made that interaction? What an incredible thing to think about. That when I get to heaven, I want to be able to see family, friends that I knew when I get to heaven, and they went on before me. But what if I get to heaven and I recognize people that I went, hey, we talked about Jesus together. Hey, you know, we had an opportunity to pray to receive Christ. Hey, I got to baptize you. Hey, wow, how that's incredible. What an incredible thought. I can't take worldly treasures with me, but I can meet those souls that I reached in heaven. I don't save them. God saves them, but he wants me to reach them. He wants me to talk to them. He wants me to spend that time preparing for my future and theirs. Instead of being so concerned with worldly future, we need to be planning for heaven. We spend more time preparing for our worldly future probably most people have a calendar, right? Most of you probably have a calendar that looks something like this. All those little colors that you can't tell what it means out there, but you can see all those. That's something that I have planned for the month of February that I have to do. Yes, many of them are doctor's appointments. It's stuff that I have to do. I've put it all on there. I've prepared for the future of this month. I know the things that I need to get done, the things that I need to do. I have those things listed on there. But what you won't find on that calendar is where I wrote down and prepared and planned to spend time talking with someone about Jesus. I didn't write that down. Just like most of you, I didn't write it down. Doesn't mean that I don't want to do that. It doesn't mean that I won't do that. But it means that I didn't plan it out. I didn't prepare for my future enough that I even did that. If believers, we're not planning that, and we're not trying to find those opportunities, we're not asking God to show us that opportunity to share the gospel with someone, we're not preparing for the future. We're not preparing for their future. We're not preparing for our future. Instead of being so concerned with the worldly future, we need to be planning for heaven, because that is our eternal future. That's eternal. It's not just a drop in the bucket, it's eternal. So, just like I taught with the children, the older we get, the more things we have going on, the more we have to prepare in order to do the things that we know need to get done. Are you prepared to talk to people about Jesus? Are you prepared for that? Right now, are you prepared? If you leave here and go out to dinner, go out to lunch, the waitress comes by and God puts it on your heart, you need to tell them about Jesus. Are you prepared? How many times have you invited your server to come to church? How many times have you asked them if they know Jesus? How many times do you seek out opportunities to share Christ with someone? Most of the time, God puts them in front of us, but we're walking around like this. We're not really paying attention to what's going on around us. There's somebody over here who needs to know about Jesus, but we're too busy looking this way. Instead of being concerned with a worldly future, let's plan for heaven. Let's plan for heaven. How amazing it will be if we get to heaven and all these souls that we got a chance to tell about Jesus are there. What if we get to heaven and we see all of that? How incredible that will be. Are you ready to prepare for the future? In other words, are you ready to go? Are you ready to go to your future? To your place in glory? Are you ready to do that? If you're ready to do that, then what you're saying is that you don't think God has anything else left for you to do. You don't think there's any other person that you need to talk to. Probably most of us in this room could raise our hand and say, there's someone in our family that doesn't know Jesus. Have you talked to them? Are you ready to talk to them? If you're ready to go on and be with God in glory, are you ready to know that their eternity is sealed? Are you ready to know that they will die not knowing Jesus? Maybe not. Maybe God will use someone else, but you had the opportunity. Are you ready to go?